I am weirdly relieved we're doing this one. My tabs are all little token calculators right now, which is maybe the least glamorous mood a Wednesday can have.
That is very exploring next. Not glamorous, somehow load-bearing, and guaranteed to make you say procurement logic before the episode ends.
I deserve that. But Draco, we have been saying token economics like it's obvious for months. GPT 5.6 pricing, context windows, the open source model thing, even prompt engineering. We keep pointing at the same invisible meter.
Yeah, and it's one of those concepts where if you already know it, you compress the whole idea into one sentence. If you don't, every AI product decision looks mystical. Why did the bill jump? Why did the model forget the beginning? Why does a shorter prompt sometimes make the answer worse?
So this is episode 675, apparently, and we're finally paying our own tiny debt. Not a grand theory episode, more like, what are we actually buying when we buy model usage?
The cleanest picture for me is a mailroom with tiny slips of paper. The paragraph gets chopped into slips. Every slip that comes in has to be handled. Every slip the model writes back also has to be handled. And the desk only has room for a fixed number of slips at once.
Okay, I like that. The model is not reading a document in the way I read a document. It is running a metered mailroom where the currency is these little language slips.
Exactly. Those slips are tokens. A token can be a whole word, part of a word, punctuation, white space, sometimes a piece of an emoji. Token economics is just the fact that tokens are the unit of computation, cost, and memory. If you understand the slips, pricing pages stop looking like dark magic.
Right.
And before we get too far, tokenization is the chopping step. We did the full rabbit hole in episode 601. Quick version. Text is converted into token IDs before the model sees it. And those IDs are what the model actually processes.
You did make me respect the fussy label maker annoyingly. But the part that always trips people up is that a token is not just a word. Like cat might be one slip, but a rare technical term might be three slips, and an emoji might be more than anyone emotionally wanted.
Right. And different models can use different chopping rules. A common method is byte pair encoding, usually said as BPE. It learns frequent combinations, so common chunks become single tokens. That keeps sequences shorter than pure character by character encoding, without needing every possible word as its own token. But because the tokenizer is model specific, the same text can have different token counts depending on the system. That's why word count is a bad billing est.
There's our off-topic riff. Postage by Vibes is absolutely a doomed startup. You upload a manuscript, it says, feels expensive, and charges your card.
The enterprise tier adds a dashboard with a big red aura around the invoice.
And somehow I would still click it if the onboarding was good. Okay, act to slips before you accuse me of launch day optimism again.
Too late. So, after tokenization, the model processes the input tokens and then generates output tokens. Autoregressive generation is the key prerequisite there. We did the full overview in episode 630, but the short version is, the model writes one token at a time, each new token based on the tokens already present.
So in the mailroom picture, the incoming pile is the prompt, and the outgoing pile is the answer. But the answer gets written slip by slip, not as one finished essay teleported onto the desk.
Yes, and that matters for cost and latency. Input tokens can be processed relatively efficiently, especially in batches. Output tokens are produced step by step, so long answers usually take longer and often cost more per token. Public API prices commonly separate input and output for exactly that reason. As of mid-2026, you see a huge spread. Some hosted or smaller models show prices down around cents per million tokens. On the other end, something like Claude O.
And this is where product teams stop caring about benchmark poetry and start asking boring questions. How many slicks do we send? How many slips come back? How many attempts before the work is accepted? because the best model can lose if the workflow needs thousands of cheap retries.
That connects directly to the GPT 5.6 family we looked at. Sol was the Halo model. Terra was the boring workhorse. Luna was the abundance tier. The important part wasn't just capability. It was price shape. Sol at $5 input and $30 output per million tokens. Terra at $2.50 and $15. Luna at $1 and $6.
I am accepting your Terra respect with grace. By grace, I mean I'm smiling in a very restrained way.
You earned that one. Terra made the token math legible. If the work is repetitive, tool-heavy, or good enough at that tier, the default buy model is the one that clears the task for less money and less waiting, not the one with the fanciest press line.
This is why tokens per dollar is useful, but incomplete, right? Because if Luna is cheap but needs four tries, and Terra is pricier but lands at once, Terra may be cheaper per accepted result.
Yes, the better unit is useful work per dollar. Tokens are the meter, but the job still has to succeed. Count model calls, tool calls, retries, latency, and human review. Otherwise, you just optimize the prettiest number in the spreadsheet. Now, the other big piece is the desk size, the context window. We did a full overview on context windows in episode 600. Quick gloss. The context window is the maximum number of tokens the model can consider at once, including in strew.
So the finite tray, if the tray holds 100 slips, I cannot hand you 150 slips and ask you to just be cool about it. The extra slips either don't fit or something has to be left out.
Exactly. And in real models, the numbers are much bigger, but the limit is still real. Gemini 3 models have been described with 1 million token input windows and up to 64,000 output tokens. Gemini 3.1 Pro keeps that 1 million token class. GPT 5.4X High has been listed around 1.1 million tokens. Llama 4 Scout has advertised 10 million tokens.
Those numbers sound absurdly roomy. Like 10 million slips is no longer a desk. That is a warehouse with opinions.
It is. But bigger windows are not free warehouses. More tokens can mean more compute, more memory pressure, and more latency. Even when the architecture supports it, the product question is whether stuffing everything in helps enough to justify the bill and the delay.
Right, because I can imagine a team saying, great, give the model every support ticket ever, and then discovering they bought a very expensive fog machine.
The expensive fog machine is cruel, but fair. Large context helps when the relevant information is genuinely spread across a long document or conversation. It is wasteful when the model only needed three paragraphs and got a filing cabinet.
This is where retrieval augmented generation shows up, yeah? Define that before I do my annoying product person translation.
Retrieval augmented generation, or RAG, means the system searches a knowledge base first, pulls back relevant snippets, and gives only those snippets to the model. In the mailroom analogy, you don't dump the whole archive onto the tray. You send a clerk to fetch the likely useful slips.
Product translation cheaper, faster, and usually easier to debug, as long as the retrieval step doesn't miss the important bit. It's not magic. It's selectivity.
Yes, and selectivity is the heart of token economics. Every token you include is a bet that the information helps more than it costs. That applies to chat history, legal documents, code files, examples, tool logs, everything. It also applies to formatting. JSON, code, tables, indentation, repeated labels, non-English text, white space, and special characters can all change the slip count.
I want to slow that down because it feels like a gotcha, not a principle. If I send a neat-looking block of structured data, I might assume it's compact because humans scan it easily. But the tokenizer may see punctuation in separators that all count.
That's the practical trap. Human readability and token efficiency overlap sometimes, but they are not the same thing. A tidy table may be easy for you and costly for the model. A compact sentence may be cheaper but ambiguous. You're balancing cost against clarity.
And this connects back to prompt engineering from episode 661, where we landed on prompts as interface design. The prompt is not just words I typed, it's the shape of the work exposed to the model inside a token budget.
Exactly. Few-shot prompting means showing the model a few examples of the pattern you want. That adds tokens, so it costs more. But if those examples prevent bad outputs or retries, the total economics can improve.
So shorter is not automatically better. I can cut instructions down to 4 cryptic words and celebrate my token savings, then spend 10 minutes repairing the weird answer.
Yes, token efficiency is not token starvation. The goal is not minimum tokens. The goal is minimum wasted tokens for the quality bar you need. That's the part I'd keep. A shorter prompt that causes a bad answer is fake savings. A longer prompt that prevents retries might be cheap. Token economics is boring only until the invoice, the latency, or the context limit tells you it was the architecture all along.
Beautiful. We finally did the Tiny Slick episode, Draco. I'm going to go close 90 tabs and pretend that counts as optimization.